Get started this morning. We'll be using our 101 books.
It's that pink one there right next to you. All right. Number 19. And make sure you keep your 101 book there with you for the morning service. We'll be using them again during the morning service as well. So, number 19. Favorites you can recall and we'll send those, maybe some of your own. And then we'll try to take some time here and there to hear from some of you about some memories of our pastor and what God did through him in your life. So it'll be good to have that next week. And so looking forward to having that time next Sunday. That's the main announcement I have for right now. Let's get back to singing. Number 54 in the 101 book. 54. This world is not my home.
Oh,
body. Okay. Well, right before Brother Dan comes, let's take our Bibles for just a moment. We're going to go over our memory verse for this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This past Sunday, we added verse 20 to verse 19. So we'll take just a moment to say these verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. All right, here we go. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Working on that. Trust that these verses will be a blessing to you. Okay. Brother Dan, come on up.
Take your Bibles, if you would please, the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. And it's a blessing to be here this morning. And I know several of you, most of you may know the Jeffcoats. And I'm thankful for them. They're a big blessing to our family. Actually introduced my wife and I as well, so they've been a big blessing to us, and I understand they'll be here as well in the month of April is my understanding, so we're sure you're looking forward to that also. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you would please. We'll begin reading in verse number 17, and we'll go ahead and read down through the end of the text there, and verse number 24 to start out with. Well, verse 17 down through verse 24. We'll continue through a little bit further, but just to start out, verse 17 through verse 24 as you read together, and then we'll pray, and then the lesson this morning in Sunday school. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Let's bow for prayer, and then we'll look this morning at the fire of God from heaven, or another title could be Old Elijah, outnumbered but still in the majority. Let's bow for prayer as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning. Father, we do thank you for the privilege we have to be gathered here for our Sunday school hour today. We do thank you for the songs we've been able to sing of praise unto you. And Lord, we thank you for the day that you will be coming and will be in your presence forever. We do look forward to that day. And Lord, now as we have opportunity to live and to serve you and to do the work that you've called us to, I pray that you would help us to be faithful in those things. Lord, I pray that you'd cleanse us of any sin in our hearts, and Lord, empty us of self or selfishness or pride or any of those things. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would have free working in our hearts and lives today. I pray if there be one here that does not even know you as their Savior, that they would trust you as Savior today. Lord, for those of us that know you, I pray that you'd help us to truly desire your power and your working in and through our lives today. Lord, we pray that you'd help us, and we'll give you all the glory and the praise for all that you will do and accomplish in our lives today. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our Sunday school lesson this morning is The Fire of God, as we said, from heaven, or Old Elijah, outnumbered, but still in the majority. Elijah had just seen the very fire and the very power of Almighty God as the widow's son had been raised from the dead. Remember, there was a famine in the land at this time, and Elijah called for a meeting of the people, the prophets of Baal, and a meeting with Ahab. And the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves were gathered together, and Elijah wanted to see that very power and that very fire of Almighty God. And if we today will allow God to be truly who He is, truly the living God in our lives, He will give us His power, not in this same way, but He'll give us His power in our lives, and He'll use us in a mighty way if we'll let God be God and if we'll allow Him to do the work in our lives. Let me ask you this morning, are you right now experiencing God's power in your life? And am I experiencing God's power in my life today? I want to share with you four key components about the conflict between Baal and the one true God. Four key components about this conflict between Baal and the one true God. Number one, if you're taking notes this morning, we see a forthcoming decision. Number one, a forthcoming decision. Notice back in our text in verse number 19, there in 1 Kings chapter 18, the Bible says, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Notice verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." Think about this. Under this decision, letter A, under this, we see the choice. There was a decision that needed to be made. And as Joshua reminds us, the Bible says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." We today have a choice. Whether you're a believer or if there's any that are unbelievers here today, each one of us have a choice to make. Each one of us have a decision day to day, whether we're going to choose to please God or whether we're going to choose to please ourselves, or in other words, place something in the place of God as a false god, as an idol in our lives. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What do we do when we have a choice to make? What is the decision that we make in our lives? Do we make it based upon maybe our feelings or what we think or what we desire or so forth? Or do we make it based upon God's leadership, God's direction in and through our lives? And the prophets of Baal had a choice to make whether they were going to truly follow the one true and living God or whether they were going to follow after Baal and after the false god of Baal. And we think about men and women across America today are given a choice. Men and women across America today are able to either choose to trust in Christ as their Savior and choose to follow and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe it's some other god. Maybe it's the god of money. Maybe it's the god of some friend. Maybe that's not a bad friend, but just somebody they would go to before they would go to the Lord God. And they would seek that person's counsel before they would seek the counsel coming from Almighty God. That can make it a god in our lives. Anything that we would place, and maybe it's some material thing, we place above God's here, and maybe that's up here, that is a god in our life. And the Bible tells us in verse 21, the people had a choice to make. Notice it says, "If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And that's the same choice we have to make. Are we going to follow the one true and living God and please him and everything we think, say, and do? Or are we going to follow after what we think or what we want to do? Or what is it that we think is more important than God? And how important that is that we remember what God says. Now notice the people answer him not a word. And when we pause and consider it that way, when we think, well, it's either about serving God or it's about serving self or serving some other thing, then we realize there's nothing we have to say either. There's nothing our world around us has to say. There's either a choice to serve God or serve something or someone else. Make sure we allow God to guide us when we have decisions to make. Former President Reagan, I believe it was, once had a relative that would take him, and he was going to get a new pair of shoes. He needed a new pair of shoes, and he went to a cobbler, and the cobbler asked this young president, before he was president, of course, he said, "What kind of shoes would you like? Would you like square-toed shoes, or would you like round-toed shoes?" And so as he's there with the cobbler, he is having a hard time making a decision. And so the cobbler says, "Okay, I'll give you a few days and you can decide what kind of shoes you would like to have." And a few days, the shoemaker comes back and says to Reagan, "What kind of shoes would you like? Have you made up your mind what you would like as far as those shoes?" And he still hadn't made up his mind, but the cobbler said, "You know what, I'll just have your shoes ready for you in a couple days." Well, Reagan didn't bother to ask what kind of shoes would be made. And so when he came back, he found that they had made one square-toed shoe and the other a round-toed shoe. He said, this will teach you to never let other people make your decisions for you. And he learned right then and there, he said, if I don't make my own decisions, someone else will. And if we don't make our decisions to follow Christ, we're ultimately making the opposite choice, to make our decisions to follow ourselves or somebody else, or having a false God in our lives. So we see under number one, the forthcoming decision, there is a choice. But we see letter B, there are some criteria as well that we must consider. Notice verse 22 to 24 again. The Bible says this, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So he says, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So there's a test here. There's a test. If we will say here, if the true God answers by fire, the fire comes down, the sacrifice is consumed, the wood, all that's taken care of, then that's going to be the true God. And all the people say, all these prophets of Baal say, it is well spoken. This is what we're going to do. And so the truth is, we have to make decisions based upon the criteria of what this book says. And that's the choice we have to make. Are we going to follow what this book says and the principles and the instructions given to us in this book? Or are we going to disregard those things? And that's the same criteria they had to decide. Are we going to follow? And when we do this, what happens, what the results are, we're going to see who the true and living God is today. So we see the forthcoming decision. But number two, I want to see the foolish followers of Baal. The foolish followers of Baal. Number one, the forthcoming decision. Number two, the foolish followers of Baal. Notice verse 25. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under. So the prophets of Baal are getting ready to see whether their false god is going to answer this request to send down the fire from heaven. And as he gathers these prophets together, they begin to say, okay, we'll have this one bullock, we'll get it ready. Notice verse 26. We see, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it. They called in the name of Baal from morning even until noon. So these foolish followers of Baal, we see first of all under this that they were religious people. We think about our nation today. We think about how many even churches that there are today. We think about how many more mosques are being built today even than churches, and how many churches are even closing their doors today. But there are many people that are still very religious. They have some form of religion, but they're not truly righteous in the sight of God. They may even attend a good church, but if they've never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, they are not righteous people. They are maybe religious people. They may know a lot of the right facts, but if they've never truly trusted Christ, how sad that is. And we realize today we need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to truly know Jesus, our personal Savior. So they were very religious. And America today is very religious. But we see also that these people were relentless people. They were relentless. Notice in verse 26, they continue, and it says, they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. Can you just imagine these people there from all the way in the morning, all the way until noontime, till lunchtime, crying out and saying, oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. And I'm sure as it began to get closer to noon that the cry began to get louder, and they began to leap upon the altar, the Bible says, which was made. And verse 27, it came to pass at that noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Think about that. He's kind of mocking their God. You know what? Your God is, maybe he's just busy with something else. Maybe he can't hear you. You need to be more sincere here. You need to cry out a little bit louder. And they cry, they begin to cut themselves, and they begin to, the Bible says in verse 28, the blood began to gush out upon them. How sincere that they were, how relentless that they were, how very insistent they were. And I think about many in different religions today that will do all kinds of things to think that they'll obtain some sort of favor with their God, as it were, and how sad that this is. Now, let me just pause and say that this can also apply. We could take an application for us as believers as well. You say, how is that possible? Well, when we consider this, sometimes we as Christians can have the wrong focus. Sometimes we as Christians, isn't it possible for us to place something in our lives above God? And guess what? If we have something in our lives above God, whether it be a person, whether it be a material thing, whatever it may be, it really doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's something that's placed above God. That's the issue. That's the problem that is there. And if that has happened in our lives, the truth of the matter is, then we are truly not right with God, and we are truly in a position of sin in our lives. As Psalm 66 and verse 18, if you would like to turn there, you may. Psalm 66, 18. Let's look at that passage of scripture. I'm sure many of you have memorized this. Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." But I'm thankful for verse 19, which says, "But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer." So here the psalmist is right with God. So he's thankful that because he knows that if he has sin in his life, that God won't hear him. But he's thankful that he has been heard by God because God has answered his prayer. But we remind ourselves of the same thing. If we have something in the place of God in our lives, we might be crying out to God. We even think we're crying out to God for help. Just like these prophets of Baal thought they were crying out to their true God. They really were sincere. I really believe they thought that they were truly crying out to God. And there are many people today that are deceived, and they think that their false God truly will hear and answer them. Otherwise, they wouldn't do all these things over and over, and if they really didn't think that there would be something that would happen. But if we as Christians, we have something in the place of God, guess what? The many times why God's not answering our prayer is not because God is not able to hear us. It's because God will not hear us if there's sin in our lives. That's a good reminder for us today. Make sure that we're right with the Lord God. And if I've placed something in my life above God, God won't bless everything I do. I could preach, I could do all sorts of things, but God won't truly be happy and blessed and pleasing to Him. It won't be pleasing to Him if I'm not right with Him, if I have sin in my life. It's just like the work for God without the love of God in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's turn there real quick and look at verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When we try to pray and seek God, but we've not confessed our sins to Him, we've not taken care of sin in our lives, that's just the same thing as trying to do a work for God without the love of God. The Bible says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." And we could continue on and see all that we could try to do. If we don't have the true love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that charity, biblical charity for the Lord, we aren't truly going to be used of God as He desires to use us. And so we see, number one, the forthcoming decision. There was a choice that they had to make based on certain criteria. We see, secondly, this morning, we considered that there were foolish followers of Baal, that yes, they were very religious, they were very relentless, but they were sincerely wrong and displeasing the Lord. But I want us to see, thirdly today, the faithful Savior, our faithful Savior. Notice down to verse 30, we see the procedures performed. So number three, letter A, the procedures performed. Notice verse 30. "And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me." This is after the midday was passed, and this is after they continued to prophesy and do all these things. There was no voice. There was none that answered. There was none that regarded, but the people come near unto Elijah. The Bible says, "And he repaired," verse 30, "the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed." Now think about this. The stones had to be built back up. The altar had been broken down. See, there was a problem among the people of Israel as well. Not just the prophets who were following after Baal, but the people of Israel. That altar of the Lord had to be repaired. It had to be fixed. But notice it says, "And he, with the stones he built an altar. He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and he filled the trench also with water." Now think about this. When they performed this procedure, they took 3 different times these 4 barrels full of water. So they took a total of 12 barrels of water and poured it upon this sacrifice, upon this altar. Now, we already understand, based on the context of the scripture here, that they were in a time of drought. And if you're in a time of drought, water is very precious. Water is very important. And that reminds us, if we're going to see God's power and God's working in our lives, we need to give unto God that which is very important, not only to us, but also to Him. That which is valuable to us. Whatever it is that we're holding back from God that's valuable to Him. We need to be willing to give it to Him and pour it upon the altar before the Lord so that He can truly send His fire and His power, His working in our hearts and lives today. Think about that today. And the water, notice, ran about the altar. He filled the whole trench, was just filled up with water. But we see, letter B, the prayer that is offered. Not only the procedures performed, but the prayer that is offered. Notice verse 36 and 37. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Think about this. These people realized, as he was praying, that he was not just praying to just a false god. They saw this is the true Lord God, the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. And notice as this prayer is being prayed, he's not praying it saying, Lord, would you please show these people how great a prophet that I am? Would you please show these people how great an individual that I am because I'm living for you? No. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. And when we have that same attitude toward the Lord, recognizing that it is God that does the work, it's God that accomplishes work in our hearts and lives. This was a prayer to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. One man said this. He said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. Let me ask ourselves this question today. How's our prayer life? How do we pray? And as we pray, we recognize, as the book of Romans tells us, that our heart's desire and our prayer to God have something to do with one another. Remember, the Bible says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And the heart's desire that we have, that will be manifested in the prayers that we pray. How do we understand what's important to us? What is it that we pray about? Whatever we pray about shows to us and to the Lord what's truly important to us. He already knows our hearts, but when we pray and seek God, that truly shows to Him and also to our own selves what is truly important unto us. And so we see this prayer that was offered, the prayer that God would be exalted, the prayer that God would be glorified through this. And someone said all of our failures are prayer failures. All of our failures are prayer failures. If we had not, if we had taken the time to properly pray as we should, we wouldn't have done that which we would have done that displeased the Lord God. But I want you to see under this third point about our faithful Savior, we see the procedures performed, we see the prayer that was offered, but we see under this thirdly, the power provided. Power provided. Notice verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. God sent the fire down from heaven, and it licked up all of the water. Think about that. Fire and water normally don't go together. You don't think about, okay, I'm going to have some fire, and I'm going to put some water here on the fire, and that's going to make it so much better. No. Normally, the fire will be quenched by the water. But this showed the very power of Almighty God to lick up the fire and the stones, notice, and the water, and all of these things were licked up by the fire that fell from heaven. And when God's people pray, there is power that is manifested. Notice then, letter D, the people respond in verse 39. The people respond. The Bible says, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Notice it's not the Lord, He is a God. They didn't say, well, we believe that He's God too, but also Baal. No, they realized that He was and is the true and living God. He is the only God. And when God works in a mighty way, people will fall on their faces and recognize that Jesus is the true and living God today. So the faithful Savior we see. But I want you to see next today, the fainting of men, but the faithfulness of God. So number one, we've seen this morning a forthcoming decision that these people had to make a choice based upon certain criteria. They had to decide, okay, are we going to serve the true and living God, or are we going to serve Baal? Are we going to serve, you know, this true God, the God of Israel? Are we going to serve this God that we've been serving all of our lives possibly? And they had a choice that they had to make based upon the criteria of whichever God answered by sending the fire down from heaven, that would be the true and living God. But then we saw the foolish followers of Baal. These followers were religious people, but they were also relentless people. They were very sincere. They were very, very strong in their beliefs that Baal was the true God. But I'm so thankful that the faithful Savior came through, and He comes today. He works in hearts and lives and saves souls and does mighty works so that He can get the glory through what is accomplished. But I want us to see then, number four today, the fainting of men, but the faithfulness of God. The fainting of men, but the faithfulness of God. I want you to just move ahead a few verses of Scripture. We see some things that take place in the end of chapter 18 of 1 Kings, but I want you to begin looking at chapter 19 in 1 Kings. We see the fainting of men, but the faithfulness of God. We see, first of all, persecution. The Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Now I want you to think about this. God had just come through in a mighty way. God had come and sent the fire down. The very power of God was displayed. And many times as we see God work in our lives, in ministry, we've seen this over and over again many times where God will bless in a mighty way. We'll see a great victory. God will work in a mighty way. We've truly had the right heart and the right attitude. And we've seen God work. We've seen God get the glory and God be praised. But then many times right after that mountaintop experience, as it were, we may have used that expression before, we might experience, as it were, a valley. You might experience, as it were, some form of persecution. And in this passage of Scripture in chapter 19, we see that after this took place, Jezebel is upset. And of course, we could read and see some of these other passages there, the verses following that we didn't read in verse 40 down through verse 46 of 1 Kings 18 and all that took place there. But the Bible tells us that Ahab told Jezebel what had happened, and how the prophets had been slain with the sword, and all these things had taken place. And Jezebel says, you know what, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. That's pretty much what she was saying. And Elijah was discouraged. Now, if he had paused and remembered, hey, this great God had just sent the fire down from heaven, and this same God that protected me from, or that helped me during this time with these many prophets of Baal and these prophets of the groves, he's the same God that can protect me during this time. But many times, even after the great victory, even after we've seen the power of God, we still become discouraged. We still become kind of doubtful whether God is going to be able to come through again in our lives. And that's kind of the case here with Jezebel and with Elijah. Notice in verse number 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough, Lord. Or it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father. So he is very discouraged. He's knowing that Jezebel wants to take his life. He knows that Jezebel wants to destroy him. Jezebel wants to get rid of him because of what had happened. Now, let me remind you that there are forces of evil today that would love nothing better. Satan would love nothing better than to destroy you. Satan would love nothing better than to get you out of church, get you stop reading your Bible, stop praying, stop doing what's right, and just say, hey, well, I've just quit. I give up. I might as well just die right now. Sometimes we may ever come to those points. But we need to take encouragement in the Lord. Notice God provides for Elijah once again. Notice we see the persecution. We see letter B, the provision. Notice verses 5 through 8. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Now God provided for Elijah. He needed that food and that rest. Somebody said this, sometimes you might get to a point where you've just had so much going on, you've been doing so much, you just have to pause and be still and know and that He is God, as the Scripture tells us, and even take time for rest and to take time and get physical and spiritual sustenance. Don't get so worn down physically that you aren't good spiritually, but let's not take it to the other extreme and don't get so, you know, so rested that you're not doing anything for God. There's a proper balance there. We need to have the proper rest and the proper time in the Word of God, time in prayer, time with the Lord and quiet. But then we also have to get out there and do the work that God's called us to do. So there's a balance that's here. But in this case, Elijah needed this rest. He needed this sustenance from the Lord. And God provided for him exactly what he needed in this time. And let me remind you that God will provide exactly for you what you need in your time of need, in your time of persecution, in your time of challenge that you might face in your life. But I want us to see not only the persecution and the provision, but I want us to see the presence of Almighty God. Notice in verse 9 down through verse 12, we're moving very quickly through this morning, but I want you to see the very presence of God. Verse 9 of 1 Kings 19. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now, many times as Christians, it's easy, if we're not careful, we might say, well, hey, I'm the only one, or this church is the only church that's still trying to live for God and serve God anymore. That's what our enemy wants us to think, that we're all alone, that there's no one else serving God anymore, that we're the only ones that are still serving and living for God. That's what our enemy would love for us to think. That's what our Satan would love, that we would just think that, hey, there's no one else, that we're just all by ourselves. But notice verse 11, and he said, Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now think about this. Many times God will come through that still small voice. Now God, He can be in the wind, and He can be in the earthquake, and He can be in the fire, as we saw His power coming down there with the prophets of Baal when they were present in that fire that came and consumed this sacrifice in the wood and the stones and the water in the trench. We know that God can be there in the fire. But in this case, the Lord wasn't in that fire that He's displayed, but the Lord was here in that still, small voice. The Lord can come to us as we spend time in His Word, and He wants to speak to us through the Word of God. Let me encourage us, in those times of maybe challenge, in those times of maybe you've experienced a great victory, and you feel like now you're in a valley, as it were. Feel like now you're in that time where you don't know if you'll be able to continue on. You don't know if the forces of evil are just going to come completely upon you and just completely destroy you. You're just consumed with that, and you're just ready for God to take your life away. Maybe you've ever been in one of those points. And if that's where you are today, let me encourage you to pause and be still and spend some time with the Lord. Let me encourage you to pause and see God working through that still small voice, just as He did work through that great power of the fire that came from heaven and consume that sacrifice. God wants to come through the still small voice. But we also see not only, and under this point, under the faithfulness of men, but the fainting of man, I'm sorry, but the faithfulness of God, we see the persecution, we see the provision of God, we see the very presence of God, but we see also some faithful people in verse 17 and 18. Notice the Bible continues, and we skip through a couple verses. I'd encourage you to read through both of these two chapters and even the context before and after chapter 18 and 19, even throughout this week sometime. But I want you to look at verse 17 and 18 and see what God is reminding the people of this. Notice in verse 17, it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Remember back to verse number 10. Remember how Elijah said, you know what, I'm the only one. There's no one else still serving God. I'm the only one, and they're trying to kill me. So God, why don't you just take my life too so I could be wiped out now and I'll be the last one. And we might kind of think that sounds a little bit unusual. Why would Elijah be saying this right after he had just experienced the very power of Almighty God? Why would he be that way? Well, we can be just the same way. When we see God's blessing, Satan will come and will try to defeat us, try to discourage us. But let me remind us of the fact that God wants to encourage us once again. There were 7,000 in Israel that had not bowed unto Baal. Even though Elijah thought he was the only one that had not bowed to Baal, there were still others. We can be encouraged as we think there's still churches across America and our world today that are still preaching the gospel and doing the things of the Lord that would please Him. And I'm thankful for that today. What a blessing that we have people that desire to still please and serve God. And God wants to encourage us. And that's why part of the reason why I believe that we, as we come together, God wants us to gather together to have the fellowship one with another as other believers who desire to please and honor the Lord. We encourage one another to continue to do what's right and please the Lord. Will you be faithful to allow God to use you? We've seen the forthcoming decision that had to be made, a choice based on certain criteria. We saw the foolish followers of Baal. They were religious. They were relentless, but they weren't righteous in the sight of God. We saw our faithful Savior and what He did because of the faith of Elijah, because the prayer was offered, because it was offered in the proper manner, and it was done to the glory of God. And then we finally saw the fainting of men that sometimes will take place after the victory, but we then saw the faithfulness of Almighty God as He did a mighty work and showed Elijah that he wasn't the only one, and showed him His presence through that still, small voice. Let's put God first in our lives so that we can see God's power and so that we can also have God speak to us through that still, small voice in our lives in this day today. Let's bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless as you prepare here for a little fellowship and before the service this morning. Father, we do thank You for this passage of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19 and also the context surrounding these passages as well. Lord, we do understand the original intent of the passage, but we understand the application as well we can take from this passage. Lord, I pray if there be maybe something in our lives that's been placed between us and You that maybe would be in the place of God in our lives, that we'd confess that and forsake it, that we might be able to experience Your power. We pray also, Lord, that You would help us to, if we're being defeated or if we're discouraged after we've seen Your power go forth and work in our lives, that we would take the time to truly spend with You in Your Word, and we'd take the time being still and knowing that You are God and allow You to speak to us through Your Word, and we'd be encouraged in the fact that we know there are others that still seek to serve God and please God. Lord, we know that the liberals and the ones in the world that would just be trying to just do wrong and wickedness in our world today would love to make themselves appear like they're the great majority and there's no one else that's you ought to follow them or just be destroyed, whatever the case may be. We could take application from that as well, that we need to stand up for what's right and that there are others still standing for the right and for the things that would please You. Help us, we pray, with these things. We ask You to give us the strength we need to stand up for the cause of Christ and to live for You. Forgive us for our faults and our shortcomings. And Lord, help us to just experience Your work and Your power in and through our lives this day. We'll give You all the praise and the honor and the glory for everything that's accomplished. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.